Okay, so welcome to the first Chabura for the Night Seder. So the first topic in the parak of Ben Sora Mora, I figured since the name of the parak is Ben Sora Mora, and a lot of people when they do the parak, they just skipped over old Ben Sora Mora topics. It's a little unfair to the parak. So the Yotze, by doing one aspect of the Ben Sora Mora topic, I think the most fascinating aspect, which is the reason why the Ben Sora Mora is Chayiv Nisim. So if you were to tell me, in short, in four words, why is a Ben Sora Mora Chayiv Nisim? Would be? Exactly. Nidon Al Shem Sofer. So let's take a look at this already in the Mishnah and the Brisa. You don't want to read some time? Mind reading for us? Again, Mishnah and Ayin Aleph on the base. Yeah, so what does that mean? Yeah, so just take a step back. It's not so clear in this Mishnah. It's clear in earlier Mishnayos. So I had you guys see the Rambam just to give you a little context. So what did the Ben Sora Mora do in the past? Pashat, without any fancy Rishonim. What did he do already?
So Yeah,
stole money, he bought meat and wine and then ate it. We did that twice. So we're not going to deal with these issues, but exactly. So he was warned not to do it. He did it once, warned again, did it twice. After the first eating, he gets the Chiyav Malkus. It comes up a little early in the parak. After the second time, that's when the Chiyav Nisa kicks in of Nidon Al Shem Sofo. So again, in the Mishnah, it's not clear what the Sofo is. Right? We just know that you're not Chayav. Seemingly, based on what he did in the past, it seems pushed around the Mishnah is based on what's going to happen to Sofo, but we don't know exactly from the Mishnah what's going to happen to Sofo. Just one more line. Shemi Sasan. What's the justification? Why do we prefer him to be Yom HaZakai by Yom HaZakai? All right, so simple pshat, it seems that the Gemara is saying that we want to prevent, this Rasha, the Ben Sora Mora, from doing the Vera, Bisopa, whatever that only be. But the Mishnah, we don't know any Pratim. So the Pratim come from the Brisa starting in the Gemara. So yeah, if you don't mind, Yitzhi? Yeah, just the beginning of the Gemara. Top of Vayim Be'ez Amanalef.
All right. Tanya of Yotze Lili Omer, Mechim of Nech Shachal Zad, Shritam Rabasa, Vashatza Chatzi Lun Yayin, it's lucky that's the Italian wine. I'm a Torah, yes, let's go.
All right, what's the rhetorical question?
It doesn't make sense that just because you're eating some meat or having some wine, it's going to get a chayiv tefillah.
Yeah, so again, the way other, like the Yad Ramah formulates it, it's interesting the way the Gemara does, but then the Gemara is saying, just because he ate wine or meat is going to chayiv nisa, and the Yad Ramah adds a slightly additional question, and even if you say, because the Gneva, or the one Aveir that he performed was Gneva, but even that shouldn't justify a Chayiv Nisa, exactly. Or not even Sayef. Sayef is based on the killing. But based on the Gneva, you get Malkus, or if that. No, you just, that's really, it's really only a Tashlumin. Right, if you steal something, you just have to return it. Or, return it or the money. So where is the Chayiv Nisa coming from? So the Brisa answers.
I like it to us that this event or more. So if we got enough of the Malkus and Mado, and going to want. He's going to want more, and he's going to come frequent to it. And
so the Torah figures out, the future, anticipates his future actions, word by word. Shesof migmar nichse aviv, what does that mean?
At the end, he'll come to steal from his father.
I think literally migmar is to wash and migmar is going to end up finishing up, right?
Kyle to destroy.
What?
To destroy.
No, he'll end up finishing up, he'll empty his father's bank account, right? There's nothing left. Exactly, right? There's no more money in the wallet, so what does he have to do? Mavakish limudo, right? He wants to continue his addiction.
So he's not going to be able to find anymore from his father's house. So go to the parts of Strachim, and he's going out to the way in the path,
that's
the crossroads. The last thing that's his brios, he's going to rob people.
Right. Literally just means to rob people, but the way it's understood, exactly. It happens to be, it's a little complicated Gemara, but the Gemara later on Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph, explicitly states that the Malasti Misabrios is Ritzicha. That's why all the Rishonim assume that. Again, it's pretty clear in context, because why else would it be Chayiv Nisa just for stealing? But it's clear in Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph, there's a line there where basically, it's a drasha, I don't want to get the details, but basically it says is a pasuk of a holy ben paritz shofech dam, right? You know, this son who's going to kill, and it says ze ben sarah morit. And the Gemara, the Rishon Gemara, hey Aleph and Aleph, explicitly states that the molesting as a brios here is not just acting as a bandit, but it's actually going to steal. I'm just going to finish this line. I'll get to you, Daniel. And then, therefore, in order to prevent this, Amrit Torah. Stop there. Right. So generally,
it's not for everyone if they die.
Exactly. Yeah. Daniel.
So, really,
the Gemara is asking that, but the Yad Ramah has like a slightly different version of that question. He has like a double prompt, where he basically says, like, you know, he did two things. Number one is that the Gemara has drank wine, ate meat. So, does that warrant Chiyuv Nisa? For sure not. And the Yad Ramah adds, and the only avera that he committed, okay, albeit twice, but the only avera that he committed was Geneva, was stealing.
Right.
That's also not grounds for Misa.
Right. So is it not obvious, like, at this point, that that this concept is beyond, like, logic? Like, you know, the logic of how the general halacha is formed?
We're still in the question stage. The question stage is, as you're 100% pointing out, on the question stage, generally in halacha, you're only put to death based on that which you did in the past. It's like Gemara is saying, let's look at this, at the Ben Sora Mora's past. Is there anything in his personal history which he did which would warrant being killed? The answer is clearly no. So then the Gemara comes on and says, okay, there's a clear exception. You're right, exceptional, we generally don't do this, of Nidan Hashem Sofo, seemingly based on the future. But yeah, but in the question stage, we're still assuming, we're still looking to the past, because that's the general way that halacha works. Okay. So here we have in the books, right, this the mechayev and misa for Ben Sora Mora is this concept of Nidon Al Shem Sofo.
Earlier Mishnah said that steals wine and meat, right? Eats it and he gets to steal, right? And then this Mishnah says Nidon Al Shem Sofo. And then we ask the question, wait, all I did was steal meat. So,
well, because the answer is initially. Yeah, I mean, the answer to the thing, that's a setup to the answer of the mission of the Brisa, which is Nidon Al Shem Sofo, which is
the
mission.
The question the guard asking should be asked.
Yeah, but yeah, it's more of a question to set up the answer.
And the answer is in this one. I mean, once we get past the mission,
yeah, but
now,
I mean,
we're not questioning.
I would say, you know, if you were to summarize the Brisa called, this is the Brisa that Nidon Hashem Sofo. So therefore, if it's right, when you're figuring out where to put it, you know, in the mission, it deals with Nidon Hashem Sofo.
Is there any discrepancies at the end of the Brisas?
Is that it?
The Brisa discrepancies with the end of the Mishnah and the Brisa?
In what sense?
I mean, the Yayin, we flip around Pizer. And
interesting, I didn't think about that.
Although I don't think Kinos is there.
Yeah, Kinos is totally missing.
Interesting, yeah. We weren't going that direction, but that'll be something to, that was something to think about. Okay, let's just get moving here. So again, the Inyan that we want to really, you know, delve into is this notion, is this concept of Nidon Hashem Sofo. And really the basic chakira, or the basic issue we would like to discuss, is what exactly is the ikr mechayev of Nidon Hashem Sofo? And when we say that this person is being put to death, what exactly is the primary reason for this person's death? And the two tzadim are going to be as follows. We're going to flesh out each one. Is it that, and this is pash pshat, that the ikr mechayev is that which the person is going to do in the future? Which is seemingly the pashchad of Nidon Al Shem Sofo, right? We're down this person based on what he's going to do in the future. So again, the first side, that the focus, that the ikr machayev, the primary reason for putting him to death, is based on that which he's going to do in the future. Or, we're going to see a more mechudish approach, again, one which is resonance, you know, in the Rishonim, is that perhaps, you know, the ikr machayev is really that which he did in the past. And again, according to that second approach, that the ikr mechayev is the past, the obvious question is going to be that if the ikr mechayev is that which happened in the past, so then why is the concept called Nidon Al Shem Sofo? What's the factor, what's the role of the sofa.
That's, so what did you do to get healed?
We'll get there. That's what we have to discuss. Those are just the two general sadhana. Now we're going to go into each one, shortly. So the first approach, the more normative approach, that the ikar machayev is that which the person's going to do in the future. All right, and again, the big chiddush of this approach is that you can put someone to death based on something they didn't do yet. So that's going to be the big chiddush of the normative approach in the sugya. The nidan al shem sofa, the ikar focus, right, the primary focus is the future, with the big assumption that you can put someone to death based on something they have not yet performed. And again, this is going to be the normative approach in the Rishon. But just to analyze that, this approach works well with one part of the Mishnah and less well with another part of the Mishnah. It's always very important to, when you're trying to analyze, conceptually, a certain concept, you have to look back to the primary sources to see whether the different stunts and how they work in with the Lashon and the Mishnah. So if you go back to the Lashon and the Mishnah, there are two phrases which are important for us. The first one, which works well, according to this approach, is the phrase of Yamas Zakai by Yamas Chayiv. Right, Yamas Zakai sounds like, as of now, the person is Zakai, the person is innocent. The only Chayiv in the future. So that phrase works out very nicely with this first approach, which says that the focus of what he's going to do, the focus, the Ikar Mechayiv, is that which he's going to do in the future. So therefore it makes sense to characterize him presently as Zakai. Fine. But the next line is, works less well. The next line is, Shemisasan shel Rishayim hana lehen bana la'ola. So this line, especially the letter She, sounds like it's a because. The justification for putting the Ben Sora Moreh to death is because it's better to put Rishayim to death now. So again, that line in the Mishnah, in a vacuum, implies that he's already a Rasha. Which again, at first glance, works less well with this approach, which says that, no, the Rishas here is not based on what he already did, it's rather based on what he's going to do in the future. Yeah?
There is such as a Musa of calling someone a Rasha and not hiding this is best.
But what did he do? What did he do?
He could be, saying, stolen.
Okay, very good. Okay. So the first mitigating factor is that even if his current rishus is not the basis of the chi of Nisa, he still is a Rasha because he stole from his parents, and the fact that he was a Zolo of the Sove is bluntness. We'll see the Ramban al Torah says that in itself is a bittel of Kedoshim to you. So again, both because of the Gneva and because of the potential bittel of Kedoshim to you, one can say that no, the fact that, the Mishnah characterizes him as a Rasha currently is not because his current rishus is the basis of the Chiyav Nisa. Really, the basis, according to this approach, is the future, but he still has a shame rasha because of his current actions, which are averos in and of themselves.
No.
According to this approach, the basis of the Chiyav Nisa is the future.
Yeah.
We're just saying the reason why we are, characterizing
the rasha already, because he's still...
Yeah, but that's not the basis of the Chiyav
Nisa. Better for rasha to die, better for war than for him.
But again, in context of this Yama Zakai, Val Yama Zakai. It's trying to broaden the idea that saying that, in general, it's better for Rishayim, again, better for Rishayim to die, not that we put them to death. It's a very big distinction. It's a good point, but that's an important distinction between them. It's good for them to die and for us to put them to death. But again, according to this, the one answer to that ha'ara is that no, he is a Rasha, as Dr. David was saying, that he has a shame Rasha, even though that's not the basis of Chiyav Nisa. Yeah.
I'll make sure the sons are shy. I don't think it has to be calling Rasha. I think it's just important that concept. Rashi said, what's the reason why we kill Rasha? That's what we want to be said. Came through this guy, not Rasha yet, the reason why I kill him is they dug it.
Very good. That was my second point. It's okay. Both the guys from Chavin.
What was the problem with those same?
Just the problem is that if the first approach is saying that the Ikar Mechayev is the future. So it's not based on what he did already, it's based on what he's going to do in the future. And yet, it sounds like we're characterizing, equating him with like these Rishayim. So the first approach, right? The first, answer is like David was saying, is that yeah, he's a Rasha, even though his current Rishus is not the basis of his Chiyav Nisa. The second answer, like Meir is saying, is that no, this characterization of Rishayim does not refer to the Ben Sora Mora. It's like a dimyon. It's like a mashal. We're putting the Ben Sora Mora to death, even though he's not yet necessarily a Rasha in this sense, but Just like it's good for this Ben Tzor Mor to be put to death because Yom HaZakai by Yom HaZchayev, in parallel fashion, it's good for Rishayim to die. 100%. Those are the two ways to get at it. There's one last Ha'ara before we move on to the second approach. We're going to discuss later within this. Can we just finish this one line? Then? Or it has to do with the Lashonos? Okay, so yeah.
Just
a little louder so everyone else can.
The thing that she said, the talk about Rishon is like doing parallel fashion. And why did it say like shed this?
Yeah. That's the downside of this second answer. Because Shem Yisrael sounds like it's a justification for the Ben Tzor Amorim.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Well, you'd have to say because of this other parallel concept of Misash and Shoshan, Tovlehem, Tovle Olam, that's the reason why, if you carry over, why that's a parallel to Yom HaZakah by Yom HaZakah.
Better for Rishon to die.
Yeah, it's like a parallel. Yeah, again. What it's missing is that it's like it's a royal because. Meaning, because not in this case, but because in other cases.
Because
I don't want
to
like dwell too much on it. Since it's better for Rishayim to die, why, by the same token, by the same notion, it's better for this guy also to die, to be killed. But it's the same. It's this parallel concept of it being better for Rishayim to die before they commit more averus. That's the because. That's the carryover. But not necessarily because this guy himself is characterized as a Russian. Exactly. So again, the benefit of the first approach is that, yeah, he is a Russia, and therefore the Sheh is talking about him. And the second approach is saying that, no, Sheh, it's like, because it's a parallel concept.
It's better for Russia to die, also
better for
this guy to die before
Exactly. There's one last Ha'ara within this first approach that the primary Mechayev is the future, something an important issue I discussed with some during Chavrusas, is that we're going to see later that within this first approach that the primary Mechayev is the future, there are two different ways to view it. Is it that the primary Mechayev is the future and we kill him now to prevent him from committing the Aver in the future? So, right, again, the Mechayev is the future and the Misa is a preventative measure. Or is it that, like Nidon al-Shem Sofa, more literally, that we put him to death as if he performed the action which he's only going to perform in the future? So again, is it that we kill him before he can do the action? Or is it Nidon al-Shem Sofa, we adjudicate him based on what he's going to do in the future? Again, those are... Well, just conceptually, are we preventing the future, or are we somehow bichidish, basically put him to death based on something we know he's going to do, even though he didn't do it yet? We're going to see. We'll see distinctions between them come up later. So again, that's an important sub issue within this first approach about whether the focus is on the future. But again, within the future focus, is it that it's a preventative measure, or somehow we're putting him to death based on that which he will do in the future. On the first approach. Any questions? Okay. Perhaps I'm going to have to scan more faces this year. It's a good thing. Fine. What? Good? Okay. So the second, more mechudish approach, is that even though the concept is called Nidon El-Shem Sofo, seemingly based in the future, the Iker Mechayev, the primary reason for putting him to death, is that which he did in the past. And obviously, right, the major question, as we discussed within this approach, which we're going to get to more later on in the future Shirim, is if the Mechayev is based on what he did in the past, so why does the Mishnah and Brisa talk about Nidon HaShem Sofo, talk about what he's going to do in the future, and in the future, he's going to be the last name as a Brihus? Meaning, no Rishon could ignore that. The Brisa clearly said in the Mishnah, and then the Brisa clearly say, the reason for the Chiyamisa is Nidon HaShem Sofo. We take into account the fact that in the future, he will be molasting as a Brihus. So according to the following Rishonim, which we'll see, who think that the Ikar Mechayev is really that which he did in the past, we're somehow going to have to answer the question of then, why is the Gemara, why is the Mishnah and the Brisa focusing on the future? And in short, just, you know, the skeleton or, you know, the structure is going to be that somehow that which he's going to do in the future is going to somehow shed light or transform the way we view that which he did in the past.
Well, isn't that the whole concept of Ben-Shoah-Morah? You know, that because we see what he is like now, what he did in the past, we're basing his future. Maybe it's Al-Shem Sokol at the end, but because of what he did in the past.
True, but you can say that in very different ways. The first approach is going to say, the reason why we're putting him to death, right, the Chi of Misa, is the Malas and Misa Brios in the future. According to the second approach, now the Chi of Misa is something that he did already. It's very different. What's the basis of the Chi of Misa? And then, again, there's a heavy statement that I said, and I will sidetrack. But, again, according to the second approach, and we'll explain this, it's a little, you know, in the air. But according to the second approach, where it's, the way it's going to work out is that, again, the Mechayiv is based on that which he did in the past. But somehow the Nidon Hashem Sofer, that which he's going to do in the future, is going to transform the way we look at that which he did in the past. We'll explain exactly what that means.
His Chiyuv is going to change.
Yeah, we'll see exactly what that means. Somehow, what he did in the past alone, if viewed in a vacuum, in isolation, would not have been Mechayiv Misa. But when you take into account that which he did in the past, and you have in mind what that's going to lead to, then somehow, given the future trajectory, that will dictate that, you know, he's Chayiv Misa for that which he did in the past. Again, that might be hard to understand, but we'll explain that in more concrete terms when we get to the actual Shittas.
Why isn't that just called, what he did now is Mechayiv now? Because what he did now from the Gala was Mechayiv later on. So that's coming from in itself. I mean, that action in itself is only what's causing the Misa.
Yeah. True. Meaning
it's coming from itself outside to judge back on itself. It became from itself from the beginning.
Meaning, according to the second approach, the Ikar Mechayiv is that which it did in the past.
Okay.
You agree with that?
I mean, you're in the result, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah, that's what you're saying. But the reason why the Gemara comes onto Nidon Hashem Sofo is because you need the future to somehow shed light on that which he did. Meaning, if he just stole, and that didn't lead to anything, and that wouldn't lead to anything, that wouldn't create a Chiyuv Misa. The fact that he stole, and that will lead to a Malas and Misa Brios, that somehow transforms the way we look at that stealing. Again, it will become clearer when we do, you know, the Shittos in just a moment. Okay. Oh, so before we get to the, you know, the Shittos who adopt the second more Mechudosh approach, any hands? Yes? Okay. Just to go back to the Lashonis and Rishonim. So here it's the opposite, right? The line in the Mishnah which worked well with the first, you know, approach is going to work less well with this approach. And the line which didn't work so well with the first approach is going to work well with this approach. By that I mean as follows. According to this approach, the first line of Yom HaZakai, while Yom HaZchayiv, is very difficult. Right? If the basis of the Chiyuv is that which he did already, it's hard to say Yom HaZakai. What do you mean he should die innocent? He's not dying innocent, he's dying based on... What? Oh, okay, very good. So Meir's my guy who's going to shoot down all these... Okay, good. So the Diyuk, the Ha'ara, we'll get to Meir's, you know, good point. So the Quasi-Kasha is that the line of the Mishnah of Yom HaZakai doesn't work well, right? Because according to the second approach, right, the Ikar Mechayiv is the Avera in the past. So to say he's dying Yom HaZakai, he's dying innocent, what do you mean he's dying innocent? He's dying that which he did already, based on that which he did already. So again...
But only because of what he also...
Fine. So again, that gets a little to Meir's point. Yeah.
You're saying that the only reason he's really called innocent is only his future action. So you're asking how he's innocent from his past action.
Well, not, I wouldn't call him Zakai.
That's the thing we're saying, that he's that by Zakai Misa, he's Zakai.
You're saying Zakai Midin Misa. Okay.
Oh, and of course, it's like Mother or something, but
yeah, but the Yom HaZakai...
Doesn't mean with no variance between ours and there.
No, but the basic implication of Yom HaZakai... No, but really, if I asked you yesterday, you know, when you first read the Mishnah, Yom HaZakai, is that you're killing him, even though he didn't do anything which justified being killed. So that, according to the second approach, it's not such a simple statement to make. But the other point to defend the second approach, like Meir said, is that it's relative. Now Yom HaZakai, relative to the Chiyuv, to the Chayuv that he's going to be later. So granted, he did something which is Chayuv Misa, but relative to what he's going to do in the future, you know, now is more Zakai than it is later. So again, it's not a Bam Kasha, it's a Ara, but again, the way the second approach is going to understand Yom HaZakai is Zakai in relative terms. Yeah.
By doing the stealing, we know for sure he's going to end up being lost in the Sephiros. Why does it matter whether at the end of the day he was lost in the Sephiros or not?
Well, you mean generally, what's the Chiddush of Nidah Rosh Hashanah?
If he does A, an Aron Rak means he's going to do B, effectively he does A, that's equivalent of also doing the
Tzadah. I guess you're in the sugya of Nidah Rosh Hashanah for a while. Meaning, that's a bit chiddush. Meaning, generally, halacha, you never find that we'll put, you know, we'll punish someone based on that which they're going to do in the future, even if we anticipate that. That's a bit chiddush. Again,
no. But the reason we're killing him is because it means, at least I'm assuming the reason we're killing him is because he's for sure going to do the second.
Yeah, but generally you would say, okay, so wait, I got to see this. What? Roll this. Okay, we'll get to that. That's an imminent danger. It's a big difference between Nidin Hashem Sof and Rodev, even though we'll see some Rishonim equate the two, we'll get to the Yad Ramah, is that Rodev is an imminent danger. He has the gun, he's about to shoot. So again, to say that, okay, let's step in that situation, is very different than a case of Ben Zorah Moreh, who's, you know, just turned 13, is within 3 months of his bar mitzvah, and we know that in 10 years down the road, you know, something's going to happen, that we step in at that point. That's a much bigger fish. But the other line in the Mishnah, which, you know, was a problem for their earlier approach, works out very nicely with this approach, is Shemisas and Shal Rishon, right? The fact that the Mishnah is characterizing him as a Rasha is, you know, eminently understandable. Of course he's a Rasha. He already, in the past, did something which is Chayav Misa. So again, it's just, I mean, it's just important to know, whenever you're trying to, you know, deal with a sugya, trying to understand the different stuff in the sugya, it's always important to go back to the primary sources to try to figure out, you know. And a lot of times you'll see that certain Rishonim would adopt one approach or making a diyuk, you know, in a Mishnah in one line, and other, you know, and other Rishonim take the opposite approach or more taken by a different line. So again, it could be that the different Mefarshim here are coming off of, you know, different lines in the Mishnah, and that might be, you know, what's, you know, compelling them to take the approach they did. Yeah.
That's what you said before about how he's saying comparably to what he's going to in the future as now he's called Zaka. Doesn't sound a little strange. He's called it's now because later his affairs can be 10 times worse.
It's like relatively Zakai. Meaning Yom HaZakai, meaning Yom is when he's more innocent than he will when he will be there. What? Well, yeah, that's why it's not. That's why it works. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It works better with the first approach. The second approach, which works out better with the Rishonim line, is going to have to understand the Zakai in relative terms. Basically, bottom line, what's going on is that each approach has a line in the Mishnah which works out well with them. Another line which doesn't work as well, which we suggest that there's going to be an answer for them, but again, it's, you know, and again, each approach is going to say, you know, I'd rather have a better read in that line and have a more severe reading in another line, and the other approach has the opposite.
I can say that you were saying earlier, but beginning according to the second shot, Eker Mechai, what we did in the past, what we did in the future will change looking in the past.
Yeah, but
why can't you use that to explain?
But it's still, as we're still saying, it's still harder to say Zaka. You still have to say Zaka is relative. That's the point. Okay, any... good? Okay, so now, just to give some, you know, meat, you know, to the bones here, in terms of this, right, second approach, now this, right, if you look at, I mean, you, when you open up the Gemara, you saw Nidin Hashem Sofa, you definitely didn't assume that it would be, that the Ikur Mechayev would be based in the past, just to give some Rishonim who clearly take this approach, and we'll flesh each of these Rishonim out a little later. We're about to ask you which of the Rishonim that we saw basically states that the Ikur Mechayev of the Misa or the Skila is that which was done in the past. Exactly, both. Exactly. Yeah, okay, very good. Okay, we covered all that. Okay. Now you're pushing a lot. Okay, yeah, excellent. Okay, very good. So you just got the two groups. The first group, the Rishonim group, is the Rush in his second answer, and the Das Sakenim. Right, they're both answering the major question in the sugya, which we'll, you know, get to next, which is, right, everyone's bothered by the question of, even if Melasim is really Nidin Hashem Sofo based on Melasim is a Brios, and assuming Melasim is a Brios, is that he's going to kill. But what's the Onish for killing?
Saif.
So why are we killing the Ben Sorer with Skila? Right, that's a question that almost all the Rishonim and Mefarshim are bothered by. So the way that the Rush, in the second answer, the Das Kanim, answer that question is by saying what? What is the basis of the Skila and the Chiyah Misa? Mekal of the Ima. Meaning that the reason why we're killing the Ben Sora Morer, seemingly not because of what he's going to in the future, is but because he was Mekalo of the Imo in the past, and Mekalo of the Imo is Chayev Skila.
And breaking
Shabbos.
What?
And breaking Shabbos.
Yeah, we'll get to it. That's the future. Man, Shabbos is the future. We're looking for the Rishonim who specifically invoke something that the Ben Sora Morer did in the past, right? Because we're trying to give, you know, some makoros for the second approach at the Mekhayev of Misa is the past. So the first group of Rishonim to take the second approach, again, is that second day in the Rush, and the Das Kanim, we say that the Ikra Mechayev of Skila, and thereby Chiyav Misa, is the Mekalo of the Imo, which is Chayev Skila. So we're going to have to get back to, hopefully next year, is, okay, so if your Mekalo of the Imo, the Mekalo of the Imo on its own is Chayev Skila, so then why do you need to know Shem Sofa, why do you need the fact that in the future he's going to be Melasa as a priest?
Why would the Rush have to give the first answer of English Shama Shabbos?
So again, I think the two deos of the Rush, I think, are these two general approaches that we're dealing with.
Then Rush gives those his first answer, it works according to the
first side. Exactly. So I think the two deos. Exactly. So I think the Rush is Mesupik, these two different deos are taking two completely fundamentally different approaches to the Sugya. First answer of the Rush is that, you know, the focus of the Chil Shabbos in the future, first approach. Second answer is that no, the Mechayev is the past, is the Mekal of a Ve'ima. So again, which seems to be like, you know, two answers are, you know, are two completely fundamentally different, you know, perspectives in the Sugya. Again, for our perspective, for our focus right now, so again, the Rush in that second answer and the Das Zakenim are both clearly adopting the second approach. The Mechayev is the past, Mekal of a Ve'ima. And the question, again, that we're going to answer next year is, and I discussed with a couple of guys, is so then where, since Mekal of Ve'imo is Chayev Skila on its own, so why do you need the Nidon Hashem Sofa? Why do you need the Melasim and Sabrios? Where is that part coming?
The second
answer is better than
because he says
that the Atarah is
the best one.
Okay, very good. Yeah, the
Kli Chemda
is
going to
quote that.
You also see that by
Yeah. Yeah, so one of the points of the Kli Chemda we'll get to next, that he makes a diuk in the Psukim, that the Torah, when describing the Chiyad Misa, the Ben Sora Amora, has that line of Biar Tzara Mikrabecha, which the Torah uses in regards to the classical Chiyuve, you know, Misa's Basin, where the Basin is putting someone to death based on that which they did in the past. So exactly, very good.
It doesn't say you were Makala, it's Kamo Makala.
Very good, we're going to get to that. So the... That might be a Pesach to answering the question that we just raised before, in terms of what the role of the future Melasim HaSapriyos is. But I'm going to leave that as a cliffhanger for now. Because if you just think about it, meaning if something is actually Mekal of Vimo, so then what do you need anything in the future? But if you don't actually have Mekal of Vimo, and it's just a Kamo, so then what makes a Kamo? Okay, if you see where I'm going, but I'm going to stop there, and we'll get there tomorrow night. Not tomorrow night, that would be... Not Shabbos?
Sunday
night, Mirz Hashem. Okay, good. Okay, so again, we're going to flesh out the Rush and the Das Kanim later, but I just want to give just the bare bones to highlight that they're clearly adopting, you know, this second approach that the Ikar Mechayev, again, is the past, according to them, the past action of being Mekalel of the Imo. And the second, not Rishon, the second Mefarish, who says something like this, which is the wild of the Mechudosh, Kli Chemda. Right, very fascinating piece. But again, you can get lost in all the cheshbonos. But just to remember that, in short, what's coming out of the Kli Chemda, and we'll get to the details in a second, is that he thinks that the Ikar Mechayev of the Misa is that which he did in the past. What's the past? What's the past action which, according to the Kli Chemda, is stealing? So the obvious question is that why in the world would stealing?
The Torah
establishes as Mechayev.
What?
What does that mean?
Because the Torah knows
the Alter Sofa. That's not what it says. In the Kli Chemda, has a very different, very Mechudosh approach. Again, so just structurally, just to appreciate his Chiddush. So he says, Biartara Mikrabecha implies that the Mechayev is the past. So he says, what did he actually do? Again, the Kalav of Imo is not Mefurish in Psukim, just to note that. So if you look at the, you know, just the Mishnayos, so the only Avera which is mentioned in the Mishnayos is what? Gneva. So he says, must be Gneva. So now he scratches his head. How do you connect? How are you machayev Geneva? Geneva midina Yisrael is, what's the onesh for Geneva? That's a true question. Mama. Achiv tashlumin. There's no onesh. Right? Levinitikla essay, mitam tashlumin, however you want to say it, different versions. Either way, there's no malchus, there's no onesh. So how do you connect the dots? How do you go from a Geneva to chiyum misa? So what does he invoke? What?
Ben
Noach, exactly. Okay, that's a very important formulation. We're going to get to that in a moment. He basically brings up the fact that a Ben Noach, who is over Geneva, or really over any of the Shabbat Mitzvah Ben Noach, has harasan zui misasan. Anytime a Ben Noach violates any of the Shabbat Mitzvahs, including Geneva, which is part of Dinim, he's chayav misa. Okay, fine. Based on the problem.
That's how he connects.
We're not done yet because, okay, a Ben Noach has that, but yeah, Ben Sora Mora is a Jew. So then.
Not going to Shiva.
Very good. So that's. Then he brings in. Nidun Hashem Sofa. Before that one prat, the Kli Chemda has this huge chiddush that the reason why the din changed from Ben, right, post Matan Torah. When you're in Klal Yisrael, when the status of Klal Yisrael changed from being Bnei Noach to Bnei Yisrael, the reason why they are no longer Chayav Misa for any Avera they perform, and there's right the different types of Misa, different types of Onshin, is why? Because the potential for a Jew to perform Tshuva. Very Bechidish, I don't think he has any Mefurish, Mekoros for that, that the only reason why a Yisrael is not Chayiv Misa, like a Ben Noach, is because he has the potential to do tshuva. Says the Kli... What? Oh. He just asked, does that mean that a Ben Noach doesn't have tshuva? So it sounds in the Kli Yakar, either that he thinks he doesn't, there might be some problems with that, or he doesn't think that the tshuva of a Ben Noach sufficiently, has the same impact that the tshuva of a Yisrael does. It's the other way. No. Start again. By a Ben Noach, who performs Avera, does Geneva, is Michai Misa. According to the Chachamda, the reason why a Yisrael, who performs an Avera like Geneva, the reason why he's not Chai Misa is because he has the potential to perform Tshuva. Says the Kli Chachamda. But in a case like Ben Sora Umore, or because of Nidon Hashem Sofo, we know that this Ben Sora Umore will not do tshuva. So therefore, his din reverts to the din of a Ben Noach, to be Chayev Misa on the Geneva. Whoa. Right? I'll take that slow. Chiddush number one.
Nidon Hashem Sofo means that he won't do tshuva.
Exactly. So he basically, when they say kills two birds with one stone, he killed like four birds with one stone. Basically, he's able to say that the Ikar Mechayev is the past, right? Not bring any ukintas such as Mikala off of the Imo. Say it's all based on the Geneva. Say that somehow the Geneva is Chayev Misa by being Mechadesh, the only reason why Yisrael is not Chayiv Misa for Geneva or any other Vera, is because of the potential for Tshuva, then be able to invoke Nidan Hashem Sofa, which you pointed out. The problem with the second approach is that if the focus is on the past, so what do you do with Nidan Hashem Sofa? So the Kli Chemda just solved that problem. He says the focus is on the past, but the reason why you're Chayiv Misa, why the Yisrael is Chayiv Misa for the Geneva, is because of Nidan Hashem Sofa dictates that he won't perform tshuva. Once he won't perform tshuva, his din reverts back to a Ben Noach in terms of this halacha of being chayiv misa for the geneva. There's a lot there, but in short, and we'll take your questions in just a moment, just two haras. Number one, the Kli Chemda, like the Rosh and the Dazakid, and again, a different version of it, but again, says that Ikar Machayev, a Ben Sora Moreh, is the past. Right? In contrast to the Das, the Kenim, and the Rosh, who thought that it was the past Mekal of the Imo, Kli Chemda is a slightly different version. It's the past Geneva. Point number one, just big picture. Point number two, you notice I sent out the question to you guys that if you, when you read the Kli Chemda originally, a lot of guys were bothered by, or the way they interpreted it was that the Kli Chemda is saying that this Ben Sora Remora is a guy. Right, because he went off the path, he's a guy. The problem with saying that is the Klal Kol Torah Kula is Afal Pishachata Yisrael. So it's very strange for the Kli, you know, and if you look very carefully, I don't think the Kli Chemda ever says that this Ben Sora Mora is a Ben Noach. You notice the way I explained it, it was in a way to say that no, he is a Yisrael. But, exactly, but the reason why a Yisrael isn't Chayav Misa is because of the factor of Tshuva. So once you neutralize the factor of Tshuva, because this Nidon Hashem Sofo dictates that he's not going to do Tshuva, so therefore he has the din of a Ben Noach Le'inyin, the Chayav Misa. But not the Chalila that he loses his Kedushas Yisrael, because that's unattainable to say. Alpha Pisha Chata Yisrael, who is a Ben Sora Mora, of course has Kedushas Yisrael. But just in the Chiyav Misa, he's treated as a guy, because the only reason, right, again, the only reason why Yisrael is different is because of Tshuva, and this person doesn't have that.
Just reading it at the end, he says, Allah, Yimei Minag, Yimei Midos, Kuwa'akum, Midonim, B'tinei, B'nei Noah.
Exactly. And earlier, the second page that we're dealing with, the whole focus is on the potential of tshuva, and that's all he says. It's all the dine b'nei noach, but he never calls him an actual b'nei noach. Yeah, Ellie?
When you say that stam misa by b'nei noach is stila?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Because here we're saying, Chenek? So then why here?
That's a good question. If you notice, the Kli Chemda, truth is, I think he asked that question in a later piece.
What?
I'm recalling. Kli Chemda never discusses skila. He's just discussing the Chiyav Misa. Not that you can't ask the question. I think he deals with it later. I believe you have to look through the Kli Chemda. Now it's coming back to me. I think he deals with that question later. But that's a good question.
We saw based on the number that the whole story by the by Gerber Chayav Misa is because
true.
They can be tshuva.
Yeah.
We see a lot of times like
Yonah?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to say that somehow the tshuva, I mean, if you look very closely, again, it starts talking in terms of it's hard for us to understand, but he talks about the fact that, you know, when a guy does an Aveira, so that's like, you know, has a certain impact on his nefesh, which, you know, can't be undone. But a Yisrael has the capacity to undo the damage to his nefesh. That's what he says. And that, so therefore it could be that even if there is tshuva, somehow the tshuva doesn't have the same impact of, you know, undoing, you know, the damage to his nefesh, whatever that means. It's hard for us to understand that. And because the way the Kli Chemda understands is that, you know, once a guy does an Avera and he has a certain impact on his nefesh, there's a Chiyav Misa. So it could be even after he does the tshuva somehow, perhaps, of a guy doesn't have the same effect as the tshuva of Yisrael and therefore can't undo that damage.
Also,
it's hard for us to understand that. Yeah. Esoteric.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the reason I mean it, because I'm not made it, I didn't really see it from the inside, but does he speak around the reason why Yidden are not Chayav Misa because they get certain kulas by Matan Torah.
Yeah, but then he goes to explain the reason why that at the beginning of the sentence, the reason for the kula of Matan Torah, jumps to the next page, is because of the tshuva.
It's
because of their potential of tshuva.
So that potential only came with Matan Torah.
Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah, it's a huge chiddush. Don't get me wrong. I'm just meaning, if this was the only sheet in the sugi who said Machiah was the pass, I would have been a little more hesitant. But because you see Rishonim, such as the Rush and Das Akedim, who's one of the Balei Tosfos, we're saying this. So the Kli Chemda is like a parallel. It's like an interesting twist on it. But again, the approach already is in the Rishonim. So once it's in the Rishonim, although this particular version of, you know, the second approach is very mechudish, I think it's like a very interesting piece. Yeah.
The Kli Chemda is very clear that the time when he takes on this status of Zinim, is post all the different vices and the Asura and everything that goes on. Yet for him to, for that whole Azra Sam doing the Sasam to take place, it would need to be the first time that he feels the need for it to actually work. So when he takes on the status of a Ben Noah, of a Din B'nai Noah, is already after he would have had to, for Ben Noah to be Chayav in the first place, or someone with the Dine B'nai Noah to be Chayav in the first place.
Yeah, so I hear the question, but I think the answer is that in the, you know, according to the Kli Chemda's version of events, basically, the Mechayev of Misa is like the one could say, is like the totsa of, you know, the detrimental impact that the Avera has on the person. And if that detrimental impact is permanent, that triggers a chiyuv nisa. So therefore, even though, you're right, at the time that he did the first Avera, the first stealing, the first eating, it wasn't yet in the Parsha, at the end of the day, after he did the second Avera, and you have that Avera, which now has no potential of tshuva because it triggered a nidon Hashem sofo, so lemaisa you have that detrimental impact on his nefesh, which doesn't have, which is now permanent, which therefore now triggers a chiyuv nisa.
Interesting in context of the piece, given like part of the role that for tshuva benoach that Hasra plays is that it makes clear the permanence of the action, such that the action really and his link to his chiyuv of mechayev in the action is clear. But for someone who is taking on different dinim, then the hasra can't be really a hasra, and therefore really it can't be, it's not as though he did the same action. Right? His level of skill for the action isn't equally as high to his doing the action.
Higher. Yeah. Well, loud so that even they can,
even if you say that,
no, it's not that if you don't do tshuva. I mean, because you always have the potential to learn. But the uniqueness of a ben sora mor is that the din of nidon Hashem himself is that we know that this person will not.
Why wouldn't they say that?
Yeah, if you're pointing, if your ha'ara is that like it's a big chiddush, for sure the chiddush is a big chiddush. You're right, 100%. Meaning to say that just the notion of a Ben Yisrael somehow attaining the demon of Ben Noah, that's a chiddush. I'm not going to say that's not a chiddush. Yeah, you could have said, I mean, since as a category, I think you're saying, since as a category, you know, Bnei Yisrael have potential tshuva, so you say, as a category, Klal Yisrael should never be chayev, you know, misa automatic. For sure you could have said that, 100%. But I think there's also room, if once you adopt the Klichenda's, you know, assumption, that the reason for the tsur misa is because of tshuva, so then it's an open question whether you will plug it. I wouldn't argue if we didn't, but I definitely hear that it could be also be on an individual basis. Any other? Okay. Fine. Okay. So Adkan, we basically, in short, dealt with two major approaches in the sugya. Again, first approach being the normative approach that the Ikar Mechayev is the future. Second approach being that the Ikar Mechayev is the past. So now, just to, you know, I guess introduce you to my general derech, is that we're now going to, if you saw, you know, based on, you know, the Koro sheet, now we're going to discuss like five different, what we like to call it, impacted issues, which are five different issues in the sugya, which I think all relate to this core question, this core chakir, which you started off with. And generally, not, you can't do this in every sugya, but I mean, my general derech, as you'll see, is to try to isolate, you know, the core issue in the sugya, which, you know, is really the underpinnings of all the various issues in the sugya. Try to isolate, you know, first isolate that issue, and then work out all the various issues in the sugya and see how all those various issues are all connected to this core issue. So now I'm going to see, going through each of, you know, each of these five, the Onei Skila, Tur Katan, Tur Isha, all the different sections on the Makoros sheet, and see how all these various issues are related to this core issue about whether the Ikar Mechayev is the future or the past. So first, which, you know, a couple minutes we have left, the first issue, something already we, you know, touched upon, is the issue of the Onesh Tfilah. Again, as we pointed out, the question that almost every Mefarish in the Sugya asks is, why in the world is a Ben Sora Mora, you know, given the Onesh of Skila if Nidon Hashem Sofo Melasim Es Abrios is based on Ritzicha, seemingly, and Ritzicha is only Mechayev Sayach. So that's the question that they're all asking, and we're going to see that the answer to these questions can be categorized according to these basically different approaches. And we're going to see that the first group of answers is going to align with the first approach. at the Ikar Mechayiv is the future. So according to this first group of answers, we're going to be looking for something which is Mechayiv Skila based on that which he's going to do in the future. That's going to be the first group of answers. Again, the first group of answers is going to look to the future to find some action in the future which is going to justify the Chiyuv Skila. The second group of answers is going to look to something in the past which justifies the Skila. And then we'll see the third approach, or, you know, answers which, you know, don't relate to either of these. So again, we're only going to get a start on this, but let's just, you know, get a jump start. So the first group of answers, again, is going to align with the first approach. We're going to look for factors in the future which are going to justify the Chiyuv Skila. So the first, called 1A, the first version of this is what... Now what's the answer? What's the action that many Rishonim point to in the future that would justify? What's an action that many Rishonim say that Ben Sora Mora will do in the future which justifies the Chiyuv Skila? Oh,
so
yeah. What? No, that's the past. The Chil Shabbos. Alright, so 1A, right, the first version is that many Mefarshim, we'll detail in a second, say that why is the Chiyuv Skila? It's because the future action that he's going to be melasim as a brios even on Shabbos. And the assumption is that when he's being melasim as a brios on Shabbos, he's inevitably going to be mechal Shabbos. So therefore, the Chiyuv Skila comes from that Chilul Shabbos. So there's...
That necessarily rushes towards that too. I think the way to read the Rosh Hashanah answer as interkilling would be the Chol Shabbos.
Oh, okay. So that's a good good question that I was going to discuss. Is because it's going to come up with the Gurari. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. So just in terms of the read, just to quickly mention the Mefarshim who say this, number one is the Yad Rama, Ayin Aleph on base, invokes the, you know, Chol Shabbos. You have the Chizkuni, which, you know, have on Devarim.
This is who says what we just said?
Yeah, who invokes the Chilul Shabbos in the future. You have the Yad Rama, you have the Chizkuni, and in the Pesukim in Devarim. You have the Rosh's first day, and the Mizrahi's first day. So again, the Yad Rama, the Chizkuni, the Rosh's first day, and the Mizrahi's first day. They all invoke this factor of Chilul Shabbos. Yeah.
If you say it's Chilul Shabbos, do you also need to say that you're...
So not necessarily. You can say those are two different versions, for sure. So before we get to Meir's point, so the Gur Aryeh quotes this answer and rejects it. How? Anyone remember how the Gur Aryeh rejects this answer? Chol Shabbos? What? Meaning Suffolk. He says, how do you know? Meaning, he might be Melasim as a Brios on Shabbos, but he might not be. So how do you know that he's necessarily going to be Mechal Shabbos? And since it's Suffolk, right, Misafik, the din of Etzilas Ha'edah says, Misafik, you can't kill someone, and Misafik, you can't give someone more chamer onish, such as Skila, if you don't know for sure. Say Rove. Oh. So I think the answer to the question, I don't know if it's Rove or perhaps even stronger, or Super Rove, that it could be that these Rishonim thing, that the Nidon Hashem Sofo basically says that this Ben Sora Mora will be so steeped in Melasim Es Abrios, but he's going to be doing it constantly. If he's doing it constantly, so then, yeah, he's basically doing it every day of the week. Or over a course of time, it's basically a Vaadai. Again, yeah, if it was a one-time occurrence, he's one time going to be, you know, Melasim Es Abrios, then yeah, it's a Suffolk. One out of seven, how do you know it's going to be on Shabbos? But if these Rishonim understand that Melasim Es Abrios is not a one-time occurrence, but it's like, that's his new profession. He has an addiction that he needs to support. Well, no, that's the answer, I think. That's a possible answer to the Gur Aryeh. Gur Aryeh basically rejects this answer by saying, no, it's Suffolk. And the answer is that, no, it's Vandai. Because when we say Melasim Es Abrios, it's not a one-time or two-time occurrence, therefore it's a Suffolk, how do you know it's going to be on Shabbos? It's a Tumid occurrence, right? It's a constant occurrence that therefore ends up being a Vandai that's going to take place on Shabbos also.
But once you do it once on your Chayav Misa, so once you do it, let's say you kill on Sunday, then by Shabbos you'll have been...
The din is later on in the ninth parak, I'm not sure if Rabbi Kiva is going to get to this later, the din is that if you are Chayav Misa twice, you get the more Chamor punish.
Yeah.
Once you do it once on Sunday, then you're Chayav Misa for it, so you probably... You might not do it multiple times, because you won't be able to
be
put it up before
that. No. Well, yeah, exactly. The whole thing is Nidon Hashem Sofo is that if we allow this to go, presumably he would do this multiple times. The assumption is doing this multiple times. You're saying,
The assumption is he's going to do something wrong. And then we'll put him to death
right away. The assumption is that we're not going to like put him to death right away. You know how long court cases take. Especially to put someone to death, it takes a long time. It's, you wait, you make sure everyone has opportunity to save
them. Also, it doesn't say something for the house if you're staying in constant threat of them. Aren't carrying money on Shabbos, so you're less likely to see them not going to Shabbos at all.
You're saying you're dependent on the Gerari as Kasha?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't say it's going to happen. You're just staying in constant threat of staying in the crossroads.
Okay. I'm not sure. I hear the horrors. I'm not so bothered. What?
Isn't that like more of a
creature
point? Is it like he's in a place where they're bad?
Yeah, presumably. Guys, we have like, we have like, I want to make sure that we have time for everyone to go to write Cohen's Mr. Shmuz. I just want to have one more horror, and then I'll take questions again afterwards. So just within this Chil Shabbos approach, I just want to discuss the Yad Ramah. I discussed with a lot of guys in Shir. So the Yad Ramah has a very interesting take on this. Right, so the Yad Ramah invokes Chil Shabbos, but then it asks a very interesting question. What does he ask? Before that. He says, Rodef La'akar Chil Shabbos. What? Exactly. He says, if the whole Mechayev Misa is that he's on his way to do B'machal Shabbos, but we'll get to it in a couple sugyas, that the Mishnah Ayin Gimel says there's no din of Rodef Acher Chol Shabbos. So how can you say that the fact that the reason why we're killing him, the reason why he's a Chiyav Skila, is because he's going to B'machal Shabbos? So what does the Yad Ramah answer? It's a combination.
It's from the
exactly. So it's a combination. Very interesting idea. He says that the mechayev of the Misa, there's two issues. One issue is why we put him to death. Another issue is what type of Misa do we administer? Two different issues. So he says the fact that you're Rodef Achar, Ritzicha, the Melasim is a Brios, that's the reason why we put him to death. But once you're putting him to death, so then the factor of Rodef Achar, Chol Shabbos does come into effect. People were asking, like, what do you mean? Mima nafshach. If it's a factor, then it should be mechayev misa. And if it's not a factor, then it shouldn't give you skila. Answer is, the threshold to be mechayev a person misa is different than the threshold needed to change someone's misa, someone who's already chayev misa, from a more kal misa to a more chama misa. So in essence, the Yad Ramah says that what gets this person to the chayev misa over the major threshold is the fact that he's rodef achar ritzicha. Once he's Chayav Misa, he's a guy for Ketila, one could say, so then the factor of Chol Shabbos can be taken into account to change his Misa from Sayef to Skila.
Why would we want to do that? Just give him the
Chayav Skila. No, because if he's also Chayav Skila, we need him b'chamura, we give him the more chamura onish. If he deserves it, he deserves it.
He's going to be. I mean, why are we being Nidon al-Sofo?
No, the point is he's going to do two things. He's going to kill, and he's going to be Mechal Shabbos. So on the basis of his killing, we can be mechayev in Misa. And the fact that he will kill in the future.
No, the question was that he could kill.
No, I mean, Midon Hashem himself. And the last name is Abrios, is the future. That he will kill. The fact that he will kill is mechayev in Misa. And the fact that he will be Mechal Shabbos changes the Chiyav Misa from the Sayef to the Skila. One last Ha'ara, and I'm going to close and I'll take all your questions afterwards. Just important to note, in line with something we mentioned earlier, is that the other Rishonim who mention the Chol Shabbos and who aren't bothered by this, don't say, oh, Rodev, Acher Chol Shabbos, Eimat Silin Oso B'Nafsho. That might get back to the point we mentioned before. That within the first approach, that were Ikar Mechayev is the future, there are two ways to do that. Is it preventative, like the Yad Ramah is assuming, Rodev? It's all about stopping the Rodev in his tracks before doing it. And the Yad Ramah takes the preventative approach and therefore is bothered by the Kasha. What do you mean? Rodev Acher Chol Shabbos in Matzilin Oso B'Nafsho. But the other Mefarshim within this camp who are not bothered by the Kasha can say simply, it's not a preventative measure, it's not a Din Rodev. It's the Din of Nidon Hashem Sofo is that we administer a Chiyav Misa based on that which he's going to do. Nothing to do with the Din Rodev. In Hanami in Matzilin Oso B'Nafsho. But it's a separate din of Nidon Hashem Sofo, that we treat it as if he was Mechal Shabbos. And once we're treating him as if he was Mechal Shabbos, his Chayav Skila. Zeo. So the other Rishonim aren't bothered by the Kasher, I think, are taking a very different approach and not seeing that the Ikar Mechayev being in the future is about preventative, but it's about being Mechayev him based on what he's going to do in the future. I just want to officially stop here so everyone can go to Rabbi Cohen, and I'm going to take all questions right now.